Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome back to Dwayne's World. Always great to have so many of your calls and your texts coming through. Always great to have a chat to Simon Hill, host of the Global Game, which you'll hear from 8 to 10pm tonight across the SEN network and on the SEN app. You can download and have a listen to that anytime you like. If you can't, tune in at 8 o'clock tonight and hear Simon talking about, well, the A-League's got plenty to talk about at the moment, including the top two, who have been kind of the top two we've been talking about for quite a while. Simon, welcome to the program. Firstly, great to have you back on.
Good to be with you, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm good. Business end of the season now for both the men and women. And we have been talking a bit about how the latter's kind of told us that Wellington and Central Coast have been the best two teams all season. And it comes down to this.
Yeah, well, there's 1 weekend to go. But the Mariners actually have 2 games left. The way it stands at the top, Wellington are top with 50 points. From 26 games, the Mariners have 49 from 25. And the reason they played a game less is that they were in AFC Cup action in Kyrgyzstan during the week, last week. And unfortunately, their flight back home was cancelled because of inclement weather in Central Asia. So they missed it, out on playing at the weekend for obvious reasons, because they were struggling to get back in time to play Adelaide. So that fixture is going to be held over until, I think, the 30th of April. So it's in their hands, basically. Wellington had a bit of a stumble on Friday night against Newcastle, drawing 1-1. They had a stoppage time penalty to win it, which really would have put the pressure on the Mariners. But unfortunately for Wellington, Alex Rufer hit the outside of the post. So it's in the Mariners' hands now. If they win both their games, they will be premiers going into the finals.
And speaking of the finals, anyone else capable of the big upset, do you think? Melbourne Victory are sort of snapping at their heels?
Yeah, look, Victory are in third and will probably finish third. I think they've certainly got a puncher's chance in the finals. You know, they've only lost 4 games, the same as Wellington Phoenix. The problem for Victory has been too many draws this season, which is what has denied them the premiership. So they're certainly in with a shout. The big talking point going into the last weekend with the rest of the six is who finishes in sixth. The top five is done, but it's one of Melbourne City or Western Sydney Wanderers. The Wanderers go to Victory at the weekend, their last game. They need to win and hope that City slip up at home against Western United, who are already out of finals contention. So that's the one remaining issue, apart from the premiership, still to be resolved, the makeup of the finals.
And the A-League Women's Finals are already underway?
Yep. The A-League Women are into the semi-finals. We had the first leg of those at the weekend. Melbourne City defeating Newcastle Jets away from home by 3-0 in front of, I think it's a record crowd for Newcastle women, over 6,000. And the Central Coast Mariners against Sydney FC, Sydney edging that one by 1-0. They say that the ladder doesn't normally lie, and that's certainly proved to be the case in week two of the finals. Melbourne City, of course, the premiers, and Sydney FC finishing runners-up. Sydney FC are the defending champions. It looks, with the home legs to come for both those teams, as though it will be a Sydney-Melbourne City grand final, probably in Melbourne. So, it's an interesting time of the season. And, of course, the women have had an expanded campaign this year, which has been great to see, much more games. And, you know, it's good for the development of our players for the Matildas as well.
Yeah, speaking of the Matildas, we'll be barracking for them in Paris, but the Oli Roos, a bit disappointing.
Yeah, no goals in three games is a real underachievement. Let's be brutally honest about it. And I know there's been a lot of talk about whether Nestorier and Kunda should have been included or not, but you know, he is one player as talented as he is, and I think the rest of the squad certainly had enough in their capability to have done a lot better. So it's back to the drawing board with that. They were very laboured in their play, struggled to create chances, even though they dominated possession. And unfortunately, in the men's game in particular, that's been something that's been with us for some time. And it's probably something that Football Australia need to look at in terms of the development of the next generation.
Yeah, so what's the next step there? What would you advise them? I'm sure you're going to talk more about it tonight.
Well, I mean, it's not for me to advise them, really. The talent is there. Whether the systems of play are too robotic, too predictable, too laboured, I certainly think that should be part of the conversation. Do we encourage individual talent enough? I don't know. All I know is that when you look at the quality of some of the players that went to the AFC Under 23 Asian Cup, a lot of whom have had very good seasons in the A-League, Jake Holman to name but one. There are good overseas players like Mo Touré, Garang Kuol, but for whatever reason, they're not particularly gelling as a team. So, that certainly needs to be looked at. I'm sure there's a myriad of reasons as to why they failed, but to fail so badly, I think raises a lot of questions, and I'm sure there will be a thorough review, or at least I hope there will be, try and put things in place so it doesn't happen again.
Speaking of reviews, do they review the red card system at the end of every season? You guys talk about it a bit, but there was another controversy on the weekend in the A-League.
Yeah, well, I certainly reviewed Ivan Vujic's red card in the MacArthur Sydney game, and that one has been rescinded, rightly so, in my opinion. This speaks to bigger conversation about VAR, conversation that we've had a lot of times before. I think it's getting too involved in the game. It really should be there for howlers. Clear and obvious errors, as the wording used to be, whether that still applies or not, I've no idea. But for me, it's getting involved in the on-field action far too often. That red card was a classic example of it. It was a 50-50 ball, and okay, Ivan is maybe a fraction high. It's a foul, and it's a yellow card. And as Upuk Talay, I think, and a lot of the other people on the benches on Friday said to the officials when they were making their decision, not everything is a red card. You don't always have to get involved. And it spoils the game. But I've been saying this for a long time now. Maybe it's starting to seep through because we had some controversy in the FA Cup semi-final between Manchester United and Coventry as well, where a Coventry goal was rubbed out by basically a big toenail being offside. To me, that's not the spirit of the law. I prefer to go back to referee's call and, let's get back to enjoying a game that has human error, the same as all sports. But this forensic dissection, frame by frame, of every single passage of play, to me, is not where we should be going.
No, we'll keep on it because there's a lot that are in your corner. Hey, speaking of human error, the Nottingham Forest story, if you could just sort of put that in a nutshell for us, because there is obviously the thought that some people make errors and some people just don't get things right as they should get them.
Well, this is the problem with VAR because, without VAR, you've got more of a case to say that, look, the refs made a mistake. It happens. Everybody's human. But when you've got VAR there, then people now expect perfection. And it's impossible because all you're doing, you can add as many machines as you want, but you still need humans to operate them and interpret them. So all we're doing is adding another opinion. And it means that, nobody agrees. So I don't agree with the statement that Nottingham Forest put out. I think it's pathetic, quite frankly, childish. resorting to pub talk from a professional football club that's in the English Premier League. I think it's an absolute disgrace. But, you know, maybe they're right that errors were made, but to accuse officials of outright bias, to me, is pandering to the mob mentality, and I hope they're suitably punished for it.
Yeah, so there will be something fairly big, won't there? Because you can't do that in any sport in the world at the moment. I presume you can't do it in the EPL either.
Well, you shouldn't be able to. But this is the era that we're now in, that there are so many controversies, and you know the litigious nature of modern society. We're going to end up in the Premier League potentially this season. And this is a slightly different point, but we're going to have relegations and promotions decided in courtrooms. Well, that's not sport. You know, it's supposed to be decided on the pitch. And with regards to referees, I feel sorry for them. And in fairness, you know, the VAR was brought in with the best of intentions, which was to try and help them. But once we opened the door to this video technology, it was always bound to get involved more and more and more. And eventually we're going to end up with VAR, you know, making decisions on disputed throw-ins or goal kicks. I mean, it's ludicrous. And the games are going to last 4 or 5 hours because we're going to spend half the time looking at little screens. That's not the game of football that I grew up with. But unfortunately, that's the road that we're heading down.
It's a familiar road from my side of the road as well. We're watching that unfold in a number of different sports, including the AFL, Simon. So I'm with you on all that. Top end of the EPL ladder before I let you go. Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City, that battle continues. And I think you've got it's a Manchester derby in the FA Cup as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the final will be. Both City and United winning through the Cup semis at the weekend. City beating Chelsea 1-0, United on penalties against Coventry. But in the Premier League, yeah, it's Arsenal at the top at the moment, Liverpool second, Man City third. But there's only a point in it, and Manchester City have a game in hand, which we play, and I say we because it's my club, obviously. We play against Brighton on Thursday. So if City win that one, then they go back top by 2 points. But it's going to be a fascinating finale. There's only about five games to go, so it's going to be very interesting. I think it'll go right down to the wire.
And I presume you'll elaborate on a few of the points on the global game tonight. What else is on the global game from eight?
Yeah, we've got Costa Barbarousas coming on. Wellington Phoenix striker, who's had a terrific campaign. He's top scorer for them. And obviously, hopefully, they can win the premiership. We've got Rebecca Stott coming on from Melbourne City, the women's competition. Obviously, they're in semi-final, second leg action this weekend as well. And all our regulars, Spencer Pryor, Alicia Carnivas, and Paul Williams as well. So another big show tonight.
Great to have you, Simon. Always love the chat. So thanks for jumping on. We'll talk soon.
Cheers, Dwayne. All the best.
Simon Hill, host of the Global Game, 8 till 10 tonight across the SEN network and on the SEN app. You can download it and have a listen in your own free time if you can't listen at 8 tonight. Big chat there on all things World Game. Back with more after the break on Dwayne's World.